Here we go. Who is wise and understanding among you? Now, remember when I tell you guys to, when you read the scripture, look at the punctuation. Amen. Who is wise among you? And understanding. There's a question mark there. And the question mark is crucial because James is setting this up and he asks this question because he's engaging us for an answer, for us to think. And you know that he is the brother of Jesus because I don't know that anybody asked greater questions than Jesus. Amen. And Jesus always answered a question with a question, it seemed. And, so James, you see this must run in the family. And, let me get some air on in here because I see people sweating. I'm one of the people. Anyway, so he asked a question. Then he says this. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. And so I want you to see the first thing that you got to see is James says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. And so what we're going to see, guys, is first off, James is talking about earthly wisdom and godly wisdom, heavenly wisdom. And then he says, wisdom is this. You know, I would tell people all the time, knowledge is understanding, but wisdom is putting feet to the understanding or putting action or living it out or walking it out. And so many times, guys, we have knowledge or we have understanding, but for whatever reason, which I know the reason, I'm going to get to it in the sermon eventually, is the reason we don't walk it out is because we want to satisfy the lust of the flesh. And so even though we understand this isn't going to go well if we do this, we still do it anyway. Amen. How many have ever done that? You identify brutishness and you understand the fallout of the silliness, and yet you still pursue it like it's not going to happen. And so James says, listen, I need you to understand that this is walking it out. So one of I was researching this, there was a couple interesting things that give us an example of wisdom and knowledge and the difference between the two. Knowledge is knowing tomatoes are a fruit, while wisdom is knowing not to put them in a fruit salad. Amen. That's the difference. And some of you will get that on the way home. And so, as I was continuing to look, this one is one that I found really interesting because this one's going to cause you to pause. So as Dr. Victor Frankenstein goes on to find the partial remains of a dead man, he combines the parts of, you guys know who Frankenstein is, right? Dr. Frankenstein. How many think Dr. Frankenstein's the monster? How many know Dr. Frankenstein's the monster? There you go. See, no matter what, you guys aren't playing. All right. He combines the parts of other dead people, patching them together to form a complete human. Then he goes on to animate the creature using an unspoken science he had discovered. The only thing we know is that electricity is the final piece to his medical breakthrough and is what ultimately animates this being. After it comes to life, things go off the rails for Dr. Frankenstein, is terrified of his creation, shouting at it before he flees his apartment. He returns only to find it had run away, scared and angry, to be scorned by society and eventually go on a rampage. And then there's a great anonymous quote that says this, knowledge is knowing that Frankenstein is not the monster. Wisdom is knowing that Frankenstein is the monster. And you got on the way home, I promise it'll click in your brain and you'll be like, call pastor, I got it. Because Dr. Frankenstein is a monster for creating the monster. You understand what I'm saying? And the difference between wisdom and knowledge is understanding versus walking it out and living it out being wisdom. And this is what James is talking about. This is his whole point. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 4:7. And I gave you that one, yes? Really? Hey, it's my first day back. Leave me alone. As you can tell, this train wreck is not bothering me yet. All right, here we go. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. And so, guys, listen, wisdom. And I thought as I was looking at this, and we're looking at James, and James is talking about wisdom, the most perfect example that I could think of when it came to wisdom was Solomon. Now, Solomon was the wisest man that ever existed or has ever existed. God said that there'll be none as wise as him, and there will never be one as wise as him. And so we see that Solomon is it. And yet Solomon, in all of his glory, became the fool. And he puts it down. He writes about this, and he talks about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. And that's where we're going to be today, is in the book of Ecclesiastes as we go on. But what's interesting is Scripture. Old and New Testament, they put a premium on wisdom, and it's broadly defined as this. It's not simply a matter of possessing factual knowledge, but of properly and effectively applying truth to everyday life. And as society, we find that we are failing in that miserably today. Amen. I watched a video. I turned my phone off, by the way, when I was on vacation, and just turned it on a rarity because I wanted to escape that crazy too. And then I was watching a video yesterday. Sherry and I were just sitting and relaxing, and I pull this video up, and it's this young girl. She's probably about 20 years old, and she's crying, and she says, "Okay, I need everyone to listen to me. I don't want you to fall into this same trap. I don't want them to get you like they got me." And I thought, okay, this is something, because if you ask my girls, they will tell you I am always sending them videos of scammers and new scams and new ways of they're trying to put money on your windshield or drop it, or they'll put a sound under your car so that when you drive away, it'll be on the tire and click on the car and cause you to stop and get out and look. And it's like, no, you, as long as that car moves, you drive it home, and you never stop. You get to my house, you get to your house, I don't care, whatever's closest, and then we'll look at the damage, but you just drive, right? So I sent them all these videos, and I thought, okay, here's a girl in her 20s. She's crying. She's like, "You got to listen. You got to hear me, because we don't want this to happen to you." And so she was like, "Apple Pay." And I went, okay, I don't use it, but I think my girls use it. Yeah, okay. So she's like, "I'm not playing along, because you'll catch me in something." So Apple Pay is where you pull your phone out, right? And you put it up to the machine, and it reads it, and you pay through your phone, right? Is that, yes? Okay. How many use Apple Pay? Wow. Okay. A lot of you do. And my daughter's not going to raise her hand after already saying yes, but that's okay. Anyway, so she goes on this whole thing of Apple Pay has deceived her because she didn't realize it's real money. She thought that if she clicks on everything that's recommended, if she accepts all the cookies on her searches, if she uses it for everything she does, that she gains Apple points by surfing on an Apple phone and using Apple stuff. And she's like, "And I've been going around spending money like I'm a millionaire." She had neither knowledge nor wisdom. And now she said this. She said, "I didn't realize this was going on my credit card until I get the bank statement. And now I owe all these thousands of dollars. I'm going to tell you, when you lack knowledge and you lack understanding, you lack wisdom, it can get really expensive. Amen. And so we have to understand that wisdom, and that's why the Old Testament, New Testament, they put a great premium, a huge emphasis on wisdom. And then even your philosophers would. Roman philosopher Cicero stated that wisdom is the best gift of the gods. And of course, he's not a believer, so he says of the gods, and is the mother of all good things. So Christians or God's people and the world, everyone understands the difference and the importance of wisdom and understanding. And so we have to be of the same. And that's what James is talking about. James says, who is wise and understanding among you? You need to show this, not have it, but you need to live this out. You need to walk it out. You need to show it, James says. And so our life, just like our tongue was our tattletale, amen, and our tongue would betray us, as the Bible says. You know, you say you're one thing, but your tongue betrays you, the Word of God says. And so just as our tongue displays who we are, our lifestyle does the same. Our actions do the same. And so if we say we're one way, but then we go and, you know, in the beginning of James, I was talking about if I let someone come up here, a couple come up here, they're not married, but I let them display acts that only should happen in a marriage and let them start taking their clothes off as they're standing up here, you people would freak out. Amen. Somebody say amen. Yeah. And you'd probably want to fire me, wouldn't you? Yeah, right. Justifiably, you'd want to go, this pastor's lost his mind. He's got to go. Some of you would be like, wow, what's next week? But that means, I know. But yet, you do it every day or every week when you turn your TV on. You're willing to fire me over letting someone do that up here, and you'd probably get mad at them and talk about them for doing it up here, but yet you don't turn your TV off through the week. You watch the same stuff. And so you'll get mad if it's in the church, but it's okay if it's in your house. You'll get mad if I would allow it up here, and you would fire me, and I would say justifiably so, you need to, for me to do such a thing. But you'll never throw your TV out or change the channel when that mess comes on. So my point is that our life, our deeds, our actions should display righteousness. That's what James is talking about. It's not just saying, I know it's wrong, and it's not me coming up here and telling you it's wrong, don't do it, but then I turn around and I go home and I do it. Or I give you counsel on how to keep your marriage healthy, and then I go home and practice that which doesn't keep my marriage healthy. You understand what I'm saying? And this is what James is talking about. When James asked the question, who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise? Are you the one that is wise and understanding? If you're it, your life is going to show it. Your decisions are going to claim it. If you're not, your life is going to show it and your decisions are going to claim it. Just like your tongue deceives you or betrays you, and your tongue is your tattletale, so are your decisions in action. It's the same thing. That it's going to let people know that you're wise or you're foolish. And you can display great wisdom among those that you hang out with. But if your actual actions say different than the wisdom that you've displayed around those that you hang out with, then your actions betray you, meaning that they tell on you. And you're not wise. You're a fool. And this is what, when we're looking at Ecclesiastes, Solomon This is what he talks about. I'm going to tell you, the book of Ecclesiastes is amazing. If you go in and you read it and you break it down and you start understanding it, you start getting an understanding that the Hebrews, they clearly understood wisdom, true wisdom, and that it was not intellectual, but behavioral. The Hebrews clearly understood that. They understood the biggest fool was the one who knew truth and failed to apply it. They understood that. And the truth is, we understand that as well. Amen. You take people that make foolish decisions and they come to you for counsel and you tell them, well, you got to stop doing this and stop doing that. And they're like, oh yeah, I know. Okay. Thank you. I know. That's what I'm going to do as soon as I get home. And then when they get home, they don't ever do it. But yeah, they still complain about the issues coming because of it. You understand? And this is what I'm talking about. And this is what they understood, is if we fail to apply the truth that we know, and especially God's truth, we cannot be stunned that we have the struggles that we have in this world or in our life or in our house or in our job. We can't be stunned by it. And so often we're like, how could God allow this? Well, no, how could you be so foolish? Right? Like there shouldn't have been consequences for my poor actions. But the truth is, there are consequences to our poor actions. And it may not happen the moment after, but it over a period of time, we're going to have to pay a price somewhere. Unless God is just so good and allows us, extends grace and forgives us because we had a change of heart and we changed our way. And so God allowed grace to cover our sin rather than expose it. And I'm just telling you, it's when we understand and we don't apply. And the Jews, they understood wisdom was the skill. And I tell you, the skill in living righteously, because it is a skill. Amen. And it takes discipline, which is what we lack today, to be quite honest. We lack self-discipline because we are so consumed with self-gratification and instant gratification. And so therefore the world or somebody, Satan, has convinced you that you deserve what you want, and therefore you justify getting it. And then only to find out it wasn't good. It's interesting. Zach, can I share the story you and I talked about this morning? Thank you. And so he said, yes. So Zach and I were talking this morning and he's like, hey, I'm up for a promotion. Awesome. And he goes, but I don't think I'm going to get, because I came in. This was the other day. I came in this morning. I said, hey, did you get the promotion? He's like, well, and I'm like, dude. So I started busting his chops, you know, and then his mother came to his rescue and said, no, let him tell you. And so I was like, okay, I was just messing with him. I said, so what happened? He's like, well, I was praying. Lord, if I'm supposed to have this promotion, then he'll show up on time and we'll get right into it. But if I'm not supposed to get this promotion, if this isn't for me, if this isn't your will for me, then he's not going to show up. Just have him not show up at all. And so the time came for the interview for the promotion, and the guy never showed up. Didn't call, nothing, never showed up. I was like, dude, you ain't getting no promotion. But think about that just for a second. So now Zach can say, oh, that was just a coincidence, even though it was exactly what he prayed. And so he can go, ah, it's just a coincidence. Or he can say, okay, God, because I trust you and I'm your child and you love me and you gave me, you showed me, you answered my prayer. It was a fleece I put out there. So I'm going to leave it alone. And if it changes, God, then you show me. Or he can go, that's a coincidence, and push on. Hey, man, when are we going to have our meeting? Where are we at? What happened? Isn't that interesting? Because how many times do we ask God to give us a sign and we get explicit with it and then God gives it to us, but then we don't like what he gives us and so we ignore it because we want what we want. And so we got to be ever so careful. Do you trust God? Well, if you trust God and your prayer was clear, like it had been one thing if he didn't pray it and the guy never showed up and you're like, ah, oh, okay, he's brutish. We'll wait till next week. But man, when you pray it, God, if this isn't for me, he won't show up at all. Nobody shows, nobody calls. I might think there's no promotion, or at least none that God wants me to have. Amen? And so we have to understand, and then we have to apply when we call on God. We have to trust him. We apply it. And that's what the Jews meant by living righteously is you have the word of God, you read the word of God, then you walk the word of God out, and you don't do anything contrary to the word of God, because now there's going to be a heavy price if we do. And then when we pray specifically and explicitly for something, and then God answers it, we got to be happy with the answer God gives us. Amen. Even if we don't like it. That's living righteously. That's living holy. And that's what they talked about. That was what they, the Jews and the Hebrews, that's the same people. But anyway, that's what they understood. And they also understood that there's two kinds of wisdom. It's man's wisdom or God's wisdom. Amen. And boy, don't we think we're so wise and intelligent. We think we got it figured out, even though in our figuring out is usually manipulation. That's the first clue you don't have it figured out. Self-gratification, that's the second clue you don't have it figured out. Deceitfulness, there's a third clue you don't have it figured out. Forcing square pegs into round holes, there's a fourth reason you can figure you don't have it figured out. Because when you got to force something to happen, man, you might want to step back. Amen. Wisdom says, leave it alone. And step back. And so God's wisdom, man, God will put it together if we're patient. Amen. God will give us that life partner we're looking for if we're patient. God will give us the promotion if we're patient. God will give us the raise if we're patient. God will give us all things that are good for us if we're righteous, holy, and patient. Because here's what I know about God. And it has never been any different in my 30 plus years of walking with him. He's an on-time God. He's never late. And he never fails. That's the God of the Bible. That's my God, my Savior. That's the creator of the world and everything in it. He's an on-time God, and he loves me, and he's not going to load me up for failure if I'm living righteous. Now, if I'm not living righteous, then God's like, oh, I'm going to throw a few tacks in there to get his attention. I'm going to throw a roadblock in there, trip him up to get his attention. And then am I going to stop and seek God's face, or am I just going to keep pushing through? And that's the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. And Solomon, he sought God's wisdom in the beginning, which I found absolutely, I mean, I love the events that happened in with King Solomon, because Solomon wanted wisdom. God's going to make him king. God's going to put him in the highest order of the land. He's going to be king. And then Solomon asked this. Look here in 1 Kings 3, 5 through 6. 1 Kings 3, did I give you that one? Okay. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, now just think about this just for a second. And what answer would you give? Be honest, don't, because you're not answering me, you're just answering yourself in your own brain, right? It's rhetorical. I don't want you to shout it out. But how would you respond if God, the God of the universe, said, ask, what shall I give you? What do you want? And I'll give it to you. Would we waste it on us? Would we waste it on on such a small response or a small thing? Would we keep God in a box because this is all the bigger of a God we know? And so we're just going to put him in a box, and our prayers or our asking will only fit in that box. Or will we go, Lord, I'm going to get back to you on that because I really got to process this one. I used to always think before I got saved, you know, the genie, rub the lamp and the genie gives you three wishes. Yeah. Like, what would your first wish be? And immediately, my first wish would be, because I thought this through. I haven't found the genie yet. I've only found Jesus, which is far greater than any genie you'll find. But either way, my first wish would be, whatever I wanted to buy, the money would always be in my pocket. Meaning I could just, here you go, whether it's cash or write a check. I didn't want all the money in the world. I didn't want to be the richest person in the world. Much like Rockefeller said, when they accused him, they said, you want to own all the land in the world. He goes, no. I don't want to own all the land in the world. I just want to own the land that's touching my land. Some of you get that on the way home. And so I'm thinking, I don't want all the money in the world. It's just whatever I want to buy, I got the money to buy it at all times. Because that's better than having it in a bank where someone else can steal it. Amen. Like that, look, that gave me everything and secured it. That'd be my first wish. What would be my second wish? I didn't think that far. I got so consumed with the first one and how to figure it out, I never went to the second one. That's true. I didn't have a second wish. Isn't that crazy? Anyway, ask, what shall I give you? Next verse. And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and uprightness of heart with you. Now understand this. Solomon sets the stage with his father David. He says, God, you have shown great mercy to your servant David because. Never forget, insignificant words have great significance. That word because has established why God blessed David. The same rules will apply if you want God to bless you. If I want God to bless me. He walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you gave him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Guys, I'm just telling you, wisdom says, walk before God in truth. Walk before God in righteousness. And in uprightness of heart, walk with God. If we do that, that's great wisdom. That's godly wisdom. And then God blesses. Look at David. The problem is, we are either not walking with God or we're so consumed with self that we don't take the time to get to know God, to walk that lifestyle with God. Amen? And sometimes we get so caught up. I would tell you, one of the greatest pleasures that I had on vacation this last week, that when Sherry and I went, one of the greatest pleasures that I had was being in the Word of God. We got to see shows and performances, and God just blessed us with blessings and upgrades. And, you know, we get there and we're supposed to have a hotel room, and I, because it's what we could afford. And I told, Sherry, I said, you know, really all I want, this is when we were flying out. I said, I know we got a hotel room, but really what I really wanted was a balcony. Just to sit outside on the balcony read the Word of God, just sit there. And we're the resort that we stayed was in the Branson Ozark Mountains. And so I just really wanted a balcony, but I get it. I get it. You know, money dictates things, right? I'm not going to go in debt to have a balcony. And so we get there and I start talking to Allie. Allie is the lady who is behind the desk at the resort, and we're talking and we go in. And I was like, first thing I do is I get people's names because I want to call them by name. I want to talk to them as a person, not as a servant. And so I get in, I see her name tag, and I'm like, Allie, how are you doing? And she kind of looks at me a little surprised, like, because I said it like I knew her. And she looked at me like, I don't know you. But that didn't slow me down. And so I just carried on a conversation with her and then started sharing Jesus with her. And she's like, oh, no, I go to King's church, and it's down the road. And it's like, so I'm like, oh, that's... And so we just start getting in this conversation, and then I'm finding out about her life and her children. We haven't even checked in yet. I'm getting to know this girl. And so as I'm talking, she was like, okay, let's get you checked in. And I said, thank you. That would be awesome. And I said, listen, and if you can, give us the best room you got. She's like, I'll be right back. She leaves. She's gone about 2 minutes. She comes back out. She said, we're going to move you to this building such and such. It's the last building on the property. And I was like, cool, thank you. And she goes, and just so you know, it's got a balcony. It's on the top floor. It's the last building, last room. You'll be by yourself. And I couldn't help but to praise God through that. And you say, well, it's just a balcony. No, no, no. It is my Father in heaven giving me what I couldn't afford. Because the whole reason I wanted to go to Branson was so I could be closer to Jesus and have influence of Jesus around me, because I needed fed. Because I was running low. I was getting depleted. And so God gave us a balcony. And not just a balcony. Not just a room with a balcony. It was a one-bedroom apartment with a washer and dryer in it, and a dishwasher and a oven, stove, fridge. It had the living room and the bathroom off to its side and the bedroom off to its side. And you go out the bedroom on the balcony. You go from the living room to the balcony. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. God set us up for the cost of a hotel room. I'm just telling you that when we walk in and we walk in truth and we walk in righteousness and we're content with what we have, and then if God blesses us with more, praise Jesus. And if God doesn't bless us with more, we're still going to praise Jesus. No matter what happens, good or bad, we praise Jesus. But that's what that verse is talking about. That's what Solomon meant when Solomon said, David, my father, he walked with you in truth, in righteousness. And then God blessed. And what I'm telling you is, you need to be patient and wait on God. And if you can't be patient, then you need to exercise wisdom, and you need to look at, or knowledge, if you will, and look at what's getting in my way of walking in this truth and in this righteousness and in this holiness with God. Is my flesh? What's my sin problem? So anyway, we get in this balcony, and I go out in the mornings because I don't sleep. I was actually sleeping better. I was getting 5.5, 6 hours a night on vacation, where I only get 3 to 4 here at home. And so I'm like, ooh. I go to bed at midnight at 6 a.m. when I wake up. Thank you, Lord. And then I get dressed. I go down. I get my coffee. And I come back. And I grab my Bible and I go and I sit on the balcony and I just started reading. My goal was to read through the four Gospels while I'm there, and not just accomplish reading it, but read it to understand it. You understand? You get what I'm saying? Not just read it to read it, but read it to grasp it. And so as I'm reading it, all of a sudden I'm like, I'm engrossed. I'm like, I got to read this. I got, man. And then before you know it, I'm done with Matthew. I'm like, okay, I'll stop there. And I was reading a book a day. Not a big feat. It's just quick reading. And then I read Mark the next day. And then I read John. But I read Luke and then I read John. But the more I read, the more excited I got about reading. And my prayer became, Lord, let me see the gold in this. Let me see your word. Let me see you. Let me see all that I need. Give me the wisdom. Give me guidance. Give me direction. Give me understanding. God, let me see these apostles. Let me see the sinners. Let me see the grace. Let me see the mercy. And as I'm reading it, it was like, God was flooding me with all the things that I was asking for, because nothing that I asked for was of me or for me. It was, God, let me see you and all that you've done. And if it's me that I need to see through this passage, let me see me, which always lined up with the sinners. And God was just flooding my soul. And then we were supposed to leave and we were supposed to go out. And so Sherry wanted to go and I was like, okay, let me just finish this chapter. But in my heart, I'm like, I don't want to stop, but we're here on vacation. And, you know, I wanted to spend that time with my wife too. So you keep this balance. And then she was kind of dozing off in a chair. And I was like, hey, maybe you take a nap. I know that was selfish. I said, hey, maybe you take a nap. You take a nap. I'll go ahead and finish reading this. And then when you wake up, we'll go. And that way you feel refreshed, because she wasn't feeling well in the beginning. And she was like, yeah, maybe I could use a nap. And so I was like, okay, when you wake up, just let me know, because I ain't waking you up. And so I got back and she took a nap, and I got back into the word, and I'm telling you, I am all consuming on the word of God. The highlight of my vacation. The highlight. And my point is, like Solomon said, when God asked him the question, my father, whom you blessed, because David was interested in you, O Lord. And he loved you, and therefore he walked it out. He had wisdom. And James is going to talk about this, and this is what we're going to be covering as we go through this. But my point is, guys, if you want the blessing of God, your life has to bless God. Now, that's contrary to the world, because the world's like, God wants to bless you. God wants to give to you. God loves you just the way you are. God made you just the way. It's a lie from the pit of hell. God loves you so much he sent Jesus to die for you. And if you're his child, God loves you so much he'll discipline you. God loves you, but there is a paddling somewhere in there. Just saying. And you can't look at the paddling as not God loving you. You have to understand that's why God paddles us, because he loves us as children. His enemies he destroys. Think about that. And how can you live a righteous, holy life if you don't know the righteous, holy God? How can you? You can't. How can I get up here and preach to you how we should love God if I don't love God? And how can someone get up here and sing holy, holy, holy is God when they don't believe in the God they're saying is holy? We can't. And so we have to make these adjustments. And they're like, well, I don't see the God you see in the Bible. It's because you don't have the God I have. You don't know him. And the worst part is, he doesn't know you. He doesn't know you. He only knows those who surrender to him. And he'll give the life. Now, does that mean I don't have problems? No, I have about 110 problems any given Sunday. That'll hit you next week. I'm kidding. Potential problems, how's that? I live in the same world that you live in. I deal with the same junk that you deal with. I got to talk to people. I got to walk with people. I got to live with people. And they have their problems and I have my problems. I'm no different than you. The only difference is, do I seek my strength, guidance, and direction and wisdom from God? Or do I allow man to influence me? And by the way, man is going to influence you in the way that that person's thinking. My pastor used to say this, if you sin like I sin, we're going to get along just fine. Ton of truth to that, amen? And so my question is, if God were to ask you, what do you want me to give you? Can you say, if Solomon were talking about you, can Solomon reference you the way he did his father, David? And understand this, that's what brings the righteousness, the holiness, the peace, the contentment, the completeness within our soul, is that walk with God. Not satisfying self. But if you don't walk in that, don't expect anything from God. And if you truly believe God loves me so much, he's going to bless me no matter what, you're the fool. Because that's not true. God blesses those whom love him and walk in truth. I would never give my child or my children a gift for being bad or for being good, or if they're bad. No, they're good because they're supposed to be good. I'll honor them for that, but I'm not going to bribe them with it. You understand what I'm saying? Because that only feeds that contentious heart. And so God's not going to feed our evil heart by bribing us with things to be righteous. He won't do that. He says, walk in truth. That's wisdom. That's why he blessed David. And that's why he'll bless us. And James, as we get into it next week, James shows us the difference. Solomon shows us the difference. And next week, I'll actually finish my sermon on the difference of wisdom, heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. And we'll be on it for a few weeks like we were the tongue, because I think as the tongue exposes our sinfulness, the topic of wisdom gives us a roadmap to success. Not world's definition of success, God's definition, that we should walk in truth, in righteousness, in holiness, that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and strength. Wisdom gives us that. And we're going to look at that next week. But I would tell you this, the first step to gaining wisdom is surrendering your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've not done that, you'll never gain God's wisdom. You only have man's wisdom, and man's wisdom brings death. And we don't surrender to God because it's like, oh, I want the wisdom. I want this. I want that. But in your heart, you didn't surrender. You don't believe. You're the fool. There's not going to be any blessing for you. It's still going to bring forth death. The Bible says, for with the heart, man believes on the righteousness. And then with the mouth, confesses what he has surrendered to in his heart. If you're in your brain going, well, if I do this and this and this, then I could get what I want. I just got to be patient, like Pastor said, and blah, blah. No. Because when you surrender to Jesus, you'll find you're not interested in all those things. You're only interested in him. And so if you're sitting there trying to justify what you're going to get, if you surrender to him, don't do it. Don't, because you're still in the flesh. You're still processing the self-gratification. That's not what we're talking about. But if in your heart you're like, I'm sick of being where I'm at, and I'm sick of the decisions, and I need God, and I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is the Savior, the only Savior of the world. And today I surrender my life to him, my heart to him, my brain to him, and all my existence to him. If that's your heart, then surrender. But if you're trying to justify gaining what you don't have, if you decide, don't. Does that make sense? I don't want anybody to trick themselves into heaven, because you'll never get there. You'll still be destitute. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for wisdom and guidance and direction. And Father, the promises that if we exercise your wisdom, not man's wisdom, if we understand, Father, that we need you and your righteousness, your holiness, your strength, your guidance, your direction. Father, we need your love and we need your comfort. We need you to open our eyes, Father. We need you to step our steps, Father, as we decide to surrender into truth and walk in that truth and into righteousness, as Solomon spoke of King David, his father. Father, help us to have the heart of surrender. Help us, Father, to put aside the things that we're desiring that are only going to fade away and die and be of no value next week or next month or next year. But Father, help us to hold on to what never loses its value, and that is you and your son, Jesus. Father, my prayer is for everyone sitting here, if they do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that today, Father, they understand the difference between a decision of the mind and emotions versus a decision of the heart, full surrender to you. Father, please make that so clear, because, Lord, we would never want anyone to think that a simple prayer saves them, or that you are their escape. Father, we want everyone to understand that you are life, not an escape. Father, you are strength, not a false way. And so, Father, that's my prayer for everyone sitting here today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you'll never have the wisdom of God. You will always walk in being deceived. And if in your mind you've not just settled on Jesus with your whole heart, but you're still intellectually trying to process the gains, if you accept Jesus, then don't. Because I don't want you to be deceived. But if you're sitting here today, and with all of your heart, you're ready to surrender and believe unto Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and Jesus alone, and that there is no other way to heaven, and you're ready to surrender to that and to his word, and to walk in truth, to walk in truth and righteousness, if you're ready for that, with all of your heart, then I want you to pray this prayer. The prayer is not what saves you. It's that decision that with all of your heart, you're ready to surrender to Jesus and to walk in truth, His truth. The prayer just gives you a timestamp where you can say, this day with all of my heart, I gave my life to Jesus. The prayer just gives you a timestamp. And if that's your desire with all of your heart, then quietly to yourself, pray this prayer. Jesus, today I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender my heart, my mind, my will, my emotions. I surrender all of it. I want to walk in your truth. I want to walk in righteousness. I'm tired of giving myself to the world and getting nothing in return. I'm tired of walking in my own way, my own direction, only to find that I keep getting stripped of my identity. Today, with all of my heart, I surrender. Today, with all of my heart, I believe unto you, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Today, I surrender to you. Today, I make myself yours through my belief that Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. Today.